And where's the funky music?
Blog Talk
Radio.
Oh,
there you go.
Welcome to Club Jetty. Lori made me change this song because it sounded like you were like at a rock fight or something.
Well, that was better than the WWF, but I mean, seriously, that was a 3-minute intro, for the love of God.
I know, right? I liked it for the first 30 seconds. Your daughter's calling me right now, of all time.
She probably wants the thing. Let me text her and tell her we're on the radio.
Yeah, message her and tell her we've got thousands of people listening to us right now. Actually, I can't see that until the next day, but last time when we had Aletha Romig on here, what did we have, Lori? Like 400 and some?
460, 470 or something like that.
I bet.
But hey, if we didn't lose anybody after that intro, we're good.
We got someone that's a guest to come to listen.
What's that?
We have one listener. Oh yeah,
that's probably me.
Hang on, let me go pull them up. No, I don't have any in the chat room yet. So, Aaron, tell us what you are working on.
Well, I just released about 3 weeks ago, so I took 2 weeks off to decompress a little bit, and this Tuesday I started on another standalone that's going to be a second chance romance, and it's going to be a sports romance.
Well, I'm
with
sports.
Gloria liked that one.
Yeah. I'm loving the Reed's Redemption because it's second chance romance. It's sports, and although the sports isn't like over the top in it. I mean, he's a football player and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it's good. Good storyline, kind of creepy.
Wait, this is the one that you're reading right now?
Yeah.
It's really good.
What's this one called? It's called Reed's Redemption. And it's got...
Reed's Reckoning.
Reed's Reckoning. You're right. I had to put a big old post-it over top of the cover because I was reading it at school today. And, yeah, he's got a really hot mom.
Yeah.
And
the half-naked cover could get you in trouble.
Exactly. And my husband even said... yeah, he just came in and he said, that guy on the cover's naked. I said, no, he's not. He's got on just some really great low-riding sweatpants. So, yeah. Yeah, it's good. Second Chance Romance.
I
want
to see the cover now. Did you see my new cover?
Super alpha guy. And a little stalker. Stuff going on.
You know what, Jetty? It's the one we traded in Orlando. It's the one, and it's probably like somewhere in your bookshelf with your books too. But it's the one that we traded. It's the grayish cover.
It's got to be in your books, Lori. You have to have that book. Like
yeah,
I
do have it. It's
stuff.
At my house. It's in the closet.
Okay. Well, there you go. Because I knew I didn't make. I didn't.
You didn't take anything home. Yeah, you didn't take anything home.
Okay.
We'll get you your copy.
But yeah.
We'll get you your copy.
Yeah, it'll be there. I got to bring everything home this time anyway because we have Cleveland next.
Cleveland. We have Cleveland coming up.
I can't find these questions.
All right, well,
Where did they go? Yeah, you've read her book, so you go, and I'll keep looking.
All right. So how many of your books are standalone? Well, actually, let's stop. Hold on. Don't answer that question. This is the teacher in me. I have to go back. how many books have you written?
I have a total of 8, but one of them is a novella, a short novella. It's 37,000 words that I wrote for a charity anthology in 2014. And when it came out of the anthology, I went ahead and put it directly to KU, and then I wrote the conclusion to it, which was a full-length novel. So it's fair to say that I have 7 full-length books and 1 novella.
Okay. Any of those series?
Yes.
Yeah.
My very first book and the follow-up to it was the beginning of the Surrender series, and it's called Surrendering and Surviving, and they both it's a cliffhanger and then the conclusion. And then the third book in the series is actually a standalone that links back to one of the main characters in the first 2 books, but it's a complete standalone. And those 3 books cover a wide variety of the whole romance genre. You've got your rocker, your tatted, pierced, dirty talking, nasty in the bedroom, tight boys. And then, then you've got your straight laced military, coming home after the war, that bleeds into the third book. So you get a little bit of the variety out there with that series.
Okay. And then what, that's 4 of them then?
There's Surrendering, Surviving, and Salvation, and they make up the Surrender series.
Okay, and then you have 4 other ones that are standalone?
That novella that I was talking about, it's called Finding Our Way, and it leads into the conclusion book, which is called Staying on Course, and that's the only other series I have. So I have a 3-book series, and then I have a 2-book series.
Got it.
I think you told us this in Florida, but what got you started in writing?
What did I not? I'm sorry, what did you ask?
What got you started in writing? How'd you start?
Well, or have you always done it?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, and you know, it is funny. We did talk about this a little bit. I spent 13 years in human resources.
Laura doesn't remember that.
And
I remember everything about that night, gosh darn it. Some parts of it I'd rather forget.
Well, I spent 13 years in human resources, and we made a major move back to Florida from outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And I had always been a reader, and I thought I wanted to touch on blogging, but I decided that I didn't really want to blog because it wasn't something that I was going to go forward with. It wasn't something I was passionate about. And I was writing at the same time that I was trying to understand all of the aspects of what a blogger does, like with the HTMLs and the joining the crew and the, you know, getting on NetGalley and all of that. And it became a little bit more effort than I wanted to put into it. And I was enjoying writing so much that I switched hands. And I never really went out of the gate with a blog. I never joined any teams. I never joined any master list. I mean, nothing. I mean, nobody knew who I was. And then when I wrote, though, I started writing under the pen name that I have now, and I didn't know what to expect. I mean, when I think back on it, I would have been happy just having a few sales because I knew nothing about the industry and I didn't know anything about marketing or publishing. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know algorithms that ran. I didn't know any of that. And so when I went out with Surrendering, which was my very first book, it was just refreshing, and it was everything but the kitchen sink. I mean, I put everything in there. I didn't worry about arcs. I didn't worry about conclusive matter. I didn't worry about closing, you know, I didn't worry about closing sections before I open another one. I didn't do a lot of dual POVs. It was just straightforward, and it was everything that I knew to write. And, you know, when I look back on it, that book could probably be cleaned up a little bit from a storyline, not storyline and not plot line, but from a modern day perspective. But I don't know that I'll ever touch it because it reminds me of why I wanted to write. Because it brought everything together. I mean, you know, you're like I said, it was a full genre book. It was your innocent virgin, your tattooed rocker, your dirty talking friends, you know, your large family function. It was all there. And I wouldn't say that it was an enormous success, but I enjoyed it so much. And while I was working full-time and doing contract work on a full-time basis, I just kept writing. And that's just how it's gone ever since then.
You know,
I never, I did quit. My full-time, I mean, I did quit the contract work and the full-time job and continued the writing. And then when I wrote the book that Lori's reading right now, Reed's Reckoning, I had that book through the ringer, out the door, through formatting and editing, and on the market in less than 4.5 months, which is absurd for me. And that is still to this day, it is still to this day my highest-ranking book.
Wow.
I think that I didn't think that much about it back then, and I hate to say that because it's probably one of my favorite storylines, but I think that it just
easily. But I also get what you mean about when I go back and, you know, read over some of my earlier books, even the one I wrote last time, you know, I'll be like, oh, my God, this is horrible.
I was going to say, you're not the first person who has said that to us, you know, that we've had on here. They say, you know, that their first book, I mean, I think Aletha did it last week or 2 weeks ago, Jetty, didn't she even say the same thing? Like, consequences, just she goes back and reads it and she's like, oh my God, but you know, you're not the first author who has commented on that, and Jetty says that all the time.
What is your work schedule like? When you're writing, what do you? You have certain hours that you work a day, or?
Well, and Jenny, you could probably attest to this. Well, maybe not, but I would think so. It's sporadic because I am 100% of the family person. And by that, I mean, you know, I do, you know, I'm the mom, the wife, the daughter, the, you know, the cook, the cleaner, the chauffeur, the dog walker.
Yeah,
and,
right,
you know,
right.
I do all
yeah.
of that. So I have a good chunk of hours during the day, anywhere from 9:30 until 2, that I'm dedicated to some sort of work unless I have an appointment outside the home. And that doesn't mean I'm writing. That might mean I'm answering emails or fixing Facebook or, you know, doing all of that. But as soon as I have gotten everything kind of settled at home, it is nothing for me to hop back on the computer between 6:30 and 7 and stay on until midnight.
Me too.
I've probably written some of my best work. Or I wouldn't say best work. I say that I've written some of my most consistent, flowing, even though it needs to go back and be, completely edited. Between 8:30 and midnight, because that's when very little is interrupting. But so sometimes I'm going till 2 in the morning. So I would think that 5 out of 7 days I have a 16-hour work day. It just depends on where it's going to be interrupted.
Right. Mine depends.
Well, you know how it is.
Yeah. Well, I tell myself you only have to write one chapter a day, and Monday through Friday, and that's all you have to work. But I wait till like right now. I have 2 weeks left, and I write from 5:30 in the morning till midnight. But I'm more creative that way.
A lot of people do that, Jetty. A lot of people work so much better under pressure. And I find that maybe there's a little bit of that with me too, but I was telling Lori this without, sharing and boring anybody with my personal life. I had a child that, my only child that entered kindergarten this year. And this is my first time dealing with the public school system. And she is out all the time. She's out every other Wednesday she gets out half a day, every 2 days a month they have teacher planning days or either a national holiday. I mean, all of these things come into play, and it really interrupts what I've spent the last 2 years building, which was like a work time until 4:30
right, yeah.
p.m. Now my work day ends at 2, no matter what, to get into the carpool line and, get home and do homework and do extracurricular activities and do all of that. And that's why I say I jump back on, 6-7 sometimes, because I feel like my whole day is interrupted. I mean, you don't realize it, but it really is. Like when you look at the clock and you say, I've only got 2 hours until I have to leave the house. So
yeah. Yeah, and that usually happens when it's your fingers are bleeding and you're like, oh, yes.
Bleeding. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. you've got nobody's bothering. You've got the music going in the background.
Yep.
You've got, the biggest drink in the world you want, whether it be soda or Coke or coffee or whatever, water, and you are going, and then you look at the clock and it's like 1:59 and you're like, crap, I gotta go.
Yep. Well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Mine are raised.
Well, you still have to worry, but in a different way. In a different way.
Yeah. But, I mean, they know, like my, right now, like my daughter and my son, they mom, can you babysit?
No!
I've had them every day, at least one of them every week for the last month. And now it's like, no, I can't. I'm not keeping her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right down to 2 weeks, and okay.
I know, because you know that you don't ever get, you never get those first 48 hours back. You know what I'm saying? So when I say that, your first 48 hours of releasing a book, you can never do a do-over. I mean, everything's got to be perfect. You've got to get it uploaded.
Yep.
You've got to get it out. You've got to get it going. You've got
regardless if something happens, it's not perfect, but.
Yeah, so you can't, people sometimes don't understand our business, and I'm the first one to tell you that nobody understands it from my point of view.
Exactly. And as soon as you think you have it figured out, it's going to change again.
Yeah, that's one of the things I say to Jetty. I go to these events with her, and it is something, there's parts of it that I don't understand. And I talked about it at dinner that one mm-hmm. night, you know, about how you guys should really be supporting each other and, you know, lifting each other up. And sometimes I hear stories of just tearing each other down and
there's a lot of that
cattiness.
Yeah. I don't comment on anything, so I stay out of all that stuff.
Yeah, as you should.
Well, yeah, and as I have no opinion on it. I mean, I very rarely have an opinion, I guess I should say. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, or what isn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't have I don't have
That's
the
me.
Energy
I
to get into all of that.
It doesn't concern me, so.
Yeah, so, Aaron, and back to your book, where do you get your cover model guys?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my very first book, Surrendering, it was a stock photo. And as it worked out, it was reused several times in that same year. And I was so green and so uneducated about the industry, I was upset. But I wasn't upset at anybody specifically. I was upset at myself for not knowing, so I started to dig deeper. So I have a variety of resources, but the gentleman that covers Reed's Reckoning and Smokescreen, both of them standalones, it's the same guy, but his image has changed dramatically based upon the book. I found him from online stalking. No lie. I saw a picture of this guy's eyes. I saw a picture of this guy's, like, you know, his profile. I, you know, Googled him. I found him. And ironically enough, which you'll agree with this, Lori, he lived in Orlando. And he was a young guy that had done some modeling, and it worked out for, you know, those books. And then since then, I've worked with a couple of photographers that I trust, but I've never done a custom shoot. I generally just do based upon, you know, what I'm feeling at the moment. Now, my specific graphic designer did some amazing pre-mades, and that's where I got the covers for my young military series, which is the Finding Our Way series, and their stock photos, or I think they're stock. They may actually be custom from her, but I think they might be stock. But she did a great job of, you know, doing some other stuff. But when it comes to just my regular guys, I've usually had to scout them out myself.
Gotcha. Now, what about your new book? It's called Finn, right?
It is.
What's it called?
Finn, F-I-N-N.
Finn, okay. I thought you said skin.
Oh, I wish. Maybe that's a good name for a book. Oh, you better copyright that right now.
So what's that one about? Is it standalone?
It is. It is a character that is mentioned in a previous book, but it is a completely new story, a completely standalone.
This guy on the Finn cover, he's the cover model?
Is a stock? His name, he is one of Scott Hoover's.
I love it.
Isn't
he's
he great?
One.
He's one of Scott Hoover's.
Yes. Yeah, that's perfect.
And it took me, this book was in my mind for 2 years, and it took me 2 years to find a picture to work with. I went through 2 million gazillion, like, just looking at photos, and he was, Scott had him on his page, and he had been seen by several people, and I hadn't seen it, and then I bought it. I didn't care that it had already been seen or anything. I thought it was a great for what I was picturing in my mind.
Right, right.
So, yeah. So Finn is a standalone. It's about a guy that comes back from the Marines, and after being injured, not critically injured, obviously, but just, you know, coming back home and starting a life and living amongst his friends and family, and meets a woman that he falls in love with. And the problem is that she is also, she's actually been scarred by a military death, and she's a safety taker. She's not a risk taker. She's a safety taker. And
right, right.
He has to prove to her that sometimes it's worth going the extra mile to come out in the end and be in love and be with the person that you're meant to be with, as compared to hiding under, you know, the shell of yourself. So it's just a
right.
traditional contemporary romance. There is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of emotion in it, but none of it is, you know, bring you to your knees and cry type emotion. It's just literally just a little bit of a love story.
Now,
what? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, I was just wondering, you know, you said, like, you do military, sports. Is that just something you're comfortable with?
It is. I mean, I felt
yeah.
comfortable with my rocker series, and that was fun. Yeah, I mean, I'm from a military family, so I feel
okay, so that's,
comfortable.
Okay.
I feel comfortable chatting about it. Well, I mean, writing about it too. I mean, you know, I mean, I always do my own research, but I feel comfortable in my terminology as well as in my storylines. And sports, I would probably be a little out of my element if I went outside of what we really relish here in the South. I mean, I could do baseball, I could do football, I could probably do a little bit of soccer. I've lived in a hockey community, so I could maybe do that. But I would, you know, if I had to write a story about, like, lacrosse or basketball or, you know, women's gymnastics, I probably wouldn't do so well.
right.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like I can write about those subjects and not have the backlash of the community thinking I'm a total idiot.
Well, I like Reed's reckoning, you know, living here in Jacksonville in the Northeast, and the, you know, the references to the area, you know, going to Ponte Vedra Beach and being in Fernandina and all of that.
Yeah,
you
recognize very, that, right?
Yeah, totally recognize that. So that was very cool.
Well, and what I'm writing right now is a little bit different because I've had to kind of leave, not really leave Florida. It's going to be set outside of Tampa. But if you noticed in Reed's Reckoning, you know, they went to FSU. And,
yes, which I love, by the way, being, you know, an FSU.
Me too. And so, you know, my first instinct is to write a sports book about people, everybody that goes to FSU. But I have to be a little bit observant about not copying what I've already written, but I could probably write 100 sports books and every athlete could come from FSU.
Yeah.
You know, I almost want to put in there something. I mean, and I have a 3-book series that's probably going to come out next year. And they're living in and around the Miami area. And one of the guys went to University of Florida in this series, and I was cringing to myself as I wrote it, but I was like, you know, there's only so much you can do in the state of Florida.
Let them all be FSU grads.
I'm telling you, I could
Josh
be known
Barnett.
As the FSU girl.
I'm okay with that. Sorry,
oh,
girl.
Oh, goodness.
College football, college sports in the South is like no other.
Huge.
Huge. And Florida and Florida State hate each other. Huge. So if my kids
look
were wanting
green.
To go to what Florida, they wouldn't have gotten college paid for. What's that?
That sounds drastic.
Shiva wants to know which book is your favorite.
Oh, shoot, that's a horrible
that's
question,
like,
because I don't know.
That's like saying, which kid is your favorite?
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. I guess I'm a little bit favorable towards my first one, because it led me in, but I have a strong, strong relationship with this guy, Finn, that I just, you know, released in March. He was
kind of a wounded soul and fell into a trap and found his way out and found a little bit of strength where there wasn't any. So at this point, I guess what's ripe on my mind would be Finn.
Can you see the chat, Lori? The chat room, Lori?
No, I was just sitting here trying to. I just tried to pull it up, and
can
I mean, I'm logged in.
Can you see it, Aaron?
I can't see anything, and I'm on all of your pages.
Yeah, I'm in the chat room, and I don't see anything. Last week I could see it, and this week nothing.
Hmm.
All I see, I see like an ad with two guys sitting there.
Okay, well,
and
Nikki Brackett wants to. Oh wait, she said Finn is the best book ever. And that's it's like in all capital, so she really loved that book.
Hopefully you bring it to Wicked, I'll buy it.
She wants to know what your true inspiration behind writing Finn was.
They just
come to you and you can't, if they don't shut up until you start putting them on paper.
Well, absolutely, Jetty. I think that was a lot of it. But I think also is that he thought he fell in love, and he fought for it, and he lost. The woman that he thought he fell in love with went with another man, and it wasn't a love triangle or an infidelity situation or anything. He just knew, you know, I'm not the
right
one for her. And I thought, he needs his own story. Like, he needs to find love and figure out what it really is. And, you know, I think back to my 20s, and God, it seems so long ago. But I think back to the emotions that, you know, we all went through, and maybe even look at the friendships we had. I mean, did I love my friends the way I thought they did? I don't know. So I wrote this story based upon him, you know, going on and finding out that, you know, his feelings were tried and true, but they weren't as strong as he originally thought.
Right. Hang on.
I don't know what I did, but I got the chat.
Oh, okay.
I can see it.
Oh, I got something, too.
Well, now I'm excited to read Finn. I'm going to finish.
Oh.
I'm finishing read tonight. My husband might not be too happy about that, but I'm finishing it.
Oh, goodness. You can sit out there and watch the waves go by as you, I should say the waves, you should watch the wake go by as you read a little bit.
Actually, there's with this storm, there's actually waves out there. A little crazy.
You have a storm coming?
We have a nor'easter.
Yeah, we do.
So
hopefully
it gets out of here before
rain,
next weekend.
Yeah, rain and wind and crazy.
Oh, that sounds like a reading weekend.
Exactly.
Hopefully that's not that for next weekend.
Yeah.
I'm like you,
Daddy.
Are you staying down there? Are you staying there at the hotel?
I am in the, is it called the Bahia Mar or something?
Yep, that's it.
Are you coming alone or are you bringing someone? Or?
Well, yes.
Yes to what?
I guess it's not really a secret.
when I say it out loud here.
Well, my in-laws live down there, and they're divorced, and one of them lives in a city called Dania Beach, and the other lives in Fort Lauderdale. So, my
husband is going to take my daughter, and they're going to go do the in-law thing. So I am in line for the entire weekend of events, except for Friday night. So, you know, Saturday, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday, hang out, do whatever, Sunday night on the boat, and then, you know, Monday we'll leave. But we'll probably do whatever. And if I can figure out, we may do the early bird special on Friday night, like a 5:30 dinner with my father-in-law. And if so, I will see if I can get dropped off at Lips and still join the party without being, like, getting in trouble. But I haven't gotten that far yet because, I mean, my father-in-law is in his 80s, and I don't want to make him feel bad, so I'm just kind of playing along by the rules.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
so you're not doing,
you know,
you're not going to the drag show?
No, it's not on my agenda right now because I've got to do dinner with him, and
right.
He's a little bit nervous. Like, he's just a nervous man, and he's like, okay, you think we might be able to meet by 5:30? And I'm like, heck yeah, let's do it. 5:30's great. I'm like, there's no problem here. And so if that's the case, then maybe I can show up at Lips and just join the crowd. You know what I mean?
Just text me. I'll get you in.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate
there,
it.
The hotel, right? Is it, Lauren?
No, I think you guys are taking a bus.
Yeah, we're taking a bus.
I think you guys are taking
it. Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. I'm bringing one.
And, well, who's bringing the flask for Saturday night?
What, Saturday night?
I'm sure there'll be drinks somewhere, right?
Yeah, but they're like 13. Yeah, it's a cash bar, and it's like $13 a drink.
I'll bring one.
Well, that's kind of how they're always, every one of them are like that.
Well,
yeah,
that's how
they're not that expensive. They were that much at the place we were at in Orlando.
It was, and that's where Anna told me, and she sent out an email. She's like, listen, the drinks are expensive, so if you want to, you know, if you have a flask, whatever, she's like, but for $11, $12, $13 a drink. But
yeah,
she told me there that they couldn't get around that with the bar or whatever.
Can you just bring your own bottle in?
I'm sure if it was like in an oversized purse, nobody would say anything, but
yeah.
I don't know about like
you
just
could see it.
Bringing it. Yeah. I don't know about just walking in with it.
I'll just bring
a
big Yeti cup.
Oh, I see something here. Oh, yeah, a Yeti cup. Oh, yeah, bring a Yeti cup of like a maybe a vodka or something, and we could mix some drinks.
The giant Yeti cup will hold a whole bottle of wine. I'll just fill that up.
Yeah,
that
would be
I'll hook
funny.
You up with some Chardonnay, Aaron. I know you love it.
Oh my God. Yeah. If I drank Chardonnay next weekend, it would be the first time in 5 months. Can you believe it?
You didn't get any on book release day? I know you texted me wanting to know what we drank that night.
No, that's because my nosy mama was over here, and I was bragging about it. And, you know, not to be outdone, she's like, oh, well, what is it? I'm sure I can get some. And I'm like, well, it's whatever you told me, Fremont Abbey or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't know if they have that at Publix. I'm like, no. They don't have it at Publix? I'm like, are you crazy? They don't have it at Publix. If they had it at Publix, we would have discovered it already, you crazy coot. Like, we don't do that.
No, they don't have that at Publix.
No! I mean, good Lord. If y'all lived my life on a daily basis, y'all would be drinking yourself to death.
Sweetheart, I see these 8-year-olds. I come home every night and drink myself to death. Every night.
Oh, poor Jetty. She doesn't have any reason to drink at all.
I have no reason to drink.
You know I'm
do
kidding.
It hardly ever.
Oh,
except for, that's why
yeah,
I don't
I
mind
totally...
the money at the signings, because I don't I don't spend money on drinking really. So
yeah,
and
I was kidding. I don't know if you drink or don't drink because it's none of my business. But I'm just saying, if you enjoyed it like I do, you'd be broke.
That could change.
Okay, I see it now. So who's Tiffany PA? I assume that's a PA named Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
Oh, you see the chat now?
I do. It just came up.
That's weird.
Okay, and it just went away. What'd you do? Okay, it just came back.
Yeah, I got
odd. She says she can hear us. Okay, good, because I can't write her back.
Well,
can
good,
anybody
write
that?
To be able to hear us.
Well, it's a good thing,
right?
You
can write back.
Yeah, I'm trying, but okay, cool.
Any Aaron stalkers out there listening that have any questions?
How about this?
Yeah.
The first person that calls in, where's the number?
What's the number?
Hang on. I gotta find it.
All right, the first person.
Wait, no. Okay, yeah. No, wait. Is that the right one?
Yeah. You want me to give the number?
Guest call in. Yes.
All right. Here's the number.
Wait. First person that calls in and asks Aaron a dirty question gets a copy of her book. Go ahead.
Right.
What's the number? I don't have it.
347-850-1221. It's got to be a dirty one,
poor
too.
Poor Tiffany already put it out there. Tiffany already put it out there before you even said
Let
it.
Let it go, Tiff. All right.
She's giggling with us, okay? She is giggling.
And it's got to be a dirty one. Dirty question. And I know she can handle it because the sex in her books is pretty raw.
Pretty good.
Hello?
Okay, well good. I like to hear that.
Wait, we got someone. Hello? Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hey, it's
Aaron. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, this is Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany.
Tiffany's on the ball.
I've been on the phone the whole time.
I thought I could hear you saying hello, but I didn't know who was saying hello.
That's funny. I just figured I'd type while y'all talked.
Okay, what's the question?
Okay, so this is a dirty question for Aaron. How many times have you been with a member of the same sex?
Oh, Tiffany, are you going to be disappointed if I say zero?
No, absolutely not. It was just a question I had to think of.
Oh, man.
That's what came to
mind.
What about you, Jenny?
I love it.
Okay,
make
sure you post your email address so we can send you a book.
Okay, I'll do it right now. I'll just type it in. Well, this is my first experience on the radio and with y'all, and I really love it. I wish that I could, wish that I would have been doing it more often with y'all.
Isn't it fun?
Well, you can do it
this
next week.
This is so fun on my end.
Yeah,
it is fun.
Absolutely.
But
yes.
We only do it every other Thursday or every other Friday.
Every other Friday. Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah, and it's actually working out really good because now next weekend we have another signing.
Good. Yes. That's great.
Which we really should do a call-in show since we'll all be together and we'll probably be funky crazy since we're coming back from a drag show, maybe on my part, but y'all will be.
Yeah.
And we'll be surrounded
that
by...
That may be the night you can change the answer to my question.
Okay, Tiffany, you're going to be gone in 3 seconds, so...
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
She's going to be gone in 3 seconds. What, they only need a time limit?
They hung up. Someone else was calling in. But she's still here. She's still in the chat.
Have you heard Book Blog? Okay, I'm going to send her a message and see what she wants. So I've got that taken care of, girlies.
Awesome. All right.
But that is something that would be fun to think about next weekend, girls, if we got fun and funky, if y'all wanted to call in.
Hey, we can play it by ear for sure. We can post it around.
Have we gotten the seating chart next weekend yet? Do we know if we're going to be in the same room or in the same vicinity or anything?
She should be sending it out here, like, in the next couple days. She told me that she would do it, like, a week before. So
that would be today, sugar. That would be today.
I just lost my internet, so I can't see anything. I'm blind. I can't see.
Nothing's up.
Let me see here.
Sheila says she hears us much better. I'm not sure.
Yeah, compared to what?
Yeah, exactly.
We got to take care of that
Sheila,
music.
Sheila, what did we sound
perfect.
Like before?
I had my fingers on mute. Okay. Well, that will kind of mess up the sound for sure.
What? What did you do?
No, Tiffany is there. I had my speakers on mute, so I missed most of that, all of that. So. Maybe that was Sheila's problem. Maybe she had her speakers on mute, but now she can hear us better because she took them off mute. Who knows?
Well, I don't get this. So if you don't have to be on the phone, you can hear it in the chat, or you don't have to.
I don't know. I don't ever turn on the sound on my computer.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm going to turn it on once to see if I can hear me. Oh, shit. I don't have internet.
Why not? What did you do?
I live in the woods.
She
can hear in the chat and on the phone. She can hear both.
Okay, so you don't have to be on the phone and on the chat. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And Tiffany, what else do you want to ask, honey?
Or anybody
Wait,
else?
Wait, I have
Nikki.
Questions here, but
oh,
I can't get
them. Fire away.
I can't get them. Nothing's working.
I think in the future, you should maybe send me a copy of the questions.
I think in the past, I've added you to the whatever kind of person that you are.
I'm going to try to take offense to that.
I tried to add you to the list. I will put your email in there again and send it to you again.
All
but
right.
You always say
hey.
You never get stuff.
Whatever. Tiffany said, Jenny, what inspired you to write Jack with a Q?
Ooh, good question.
Wait, what? This is on me now?
I'm reading it on
me.
Of
course, it's on you.
You don't have internet,
well,
so I'm taking up your slack. What inspired you to write Jack with a Q?
I like writing crazy, and Jack's crazy. And
well,
I don't know. I have a story. What?
No, I was going to say you do like writing crazy, for sure.
I do. I do like writing crazy. I like writing flawed people with a love story. Taboo.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, I had this story. It was originally started like, I don't know, probably close to a year ago. And then I don't know. I quit writing it, and then I started writing again, and then I just picked it up, and I don't know what inspired me. I never know what inspires me to write it. I can see someone on the street and write a whole story about them. Some of them
absolutely,
some of them don't.
Tiffany said she's loving it and she loves Jack.
Tiffany edits for me, so.
She says she loves your work. They're all masterpieces.
She wants something.
Yeah, she does.
Awesome. But that's very sweet.
Yes, she is sweet. She is very sweet.
There's your sweet girl.
Okay, what else? Sheila said she's on the phone.
Well, I can't answer. Like, I can't, I can't even be in the chat right now.
Sorry, Sheila. She has
Sorry,
no
Sheila.
Powers.
Next time.
She has no powers.
I have no powers.
Tiffany says, no, she doesn't want anything. She means it truly.
Aww.
She does. I was just kidding. But
am I guess 1906?
I don't know. I can't see. I'm blind.
Oh, I know. Dadgummit, I keep forgetting.
Nikki has said that she has never read one, but that's on her to be read. I'm going to guess that maybe Jack.
You've not.
Are you talking
she's
about?
She's not read any of my books. Nikki hasn't read any.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you on?
Well,
are any of your books? Are any of your books in KU?
Yeah.
Jetty.
Go read I Pick You. That was my last one. Go read I Pick You.
Nikki, did you hear
that? Is that on Kindle Unlimited?
Actually, send me your email and I will send it to you.
Nikki,
but
you
don't send
that?
It in there. Send it to me on Facebook because I'm blind.
So, Nikki,
yeah.
Send
She'll
Jetty your email address.
Yep, she heard you.
On
okay,
Facebook.
So Nikki. Yeah, Nikki, send her your email address on Facebook, Jettie Woodruff. Gotcha. Okay.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Yep, she got
but
you.
But, yeah, I'm going to get yours, too. Your new one.
I'm
going to see you.
This is a question I always want to know. Were you a reader growing up? Have you always been a reader?
Absolutely, 100%.
What was your favorite childhood?
And I used to,
childhood book.
Well, I used to be very versatile. I mean, as a child, I'm about to show my age. I mean, obviously we had Ramona and, you know,
yes.
Sweet Valley High and all of that.
Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, all of that. But school reading, I was introduced to books that tore me up, and I loved them. I don't love them anymore, but I loved them at the time. I mean, Where the Red Fern Grows, and my very favorite book is To Kill a Mockingbird, which is a classic for almost everybody.
God.
But
yeah.
But I mean, Where the Red Fern Grows. If I had to read that, I mean, I would never put that on my daughter today. I mean, she would be in a hospital crying. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, the books that we, I mean, what was that book about the flies? The Lord of the Flies. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, Lord. What were some other ones that I can't think of right now that we had to read? But those were standard reading, but I did, you know, like I did Beverly Cleary.
Great Gatsby.
And, oh, that one made me tear up too. And, what about, this might have been just a total girl's book, but was it Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was absolutely a reader. I was a reader through college, too. But they didn't make college books like they do now. Like, you could have read, like, a Danielle Steele or possibly, like, a J.D. Robe or, you know, whatever.
B.C. Andrews.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Flowers in the Attic killed me.
The Castile series is still probably my top favorite dark book.
Which ones?
The Castile series. Like, that book just, like, that was my first taste of, like, you know, the whole sex and dark. And, you know, it was like, I was engrossed. Like,
yes.
And then you didn't find them. I mean, there wasn't very many writers like that, you know. That was what back in, I think that those were 80s books.
All right, hold on, we got some questions here. All right. Tiffany wants to know, Erin, what genre you write currently?
Total contemporary romance.
Okay. And Carol Seymour wants to ask you a naughty question. So go ahead, Carol. You can ask this way. So type it in there, and I have no problem relaying dirty questions at all. There's no filter on my mouth sometimes. So
word.
Yes, Jetty, you know me too well.
Mm-hmm.
If she asks a dirty question, then we all need to, like, applaud her because she is so kind and sweet and behind the scenes.
Have you ever really seen an appa?
A what? No. I mean, that's not true.
Wait, what?
Online count. Does online count?
Does online count, Carol? I would say no, that doesn't count. I think if you're going to see it, you need to see it.
Yeah.
I still don't know what we're talking about.
Hey, Jetty, the Afrodrava piercing in the top of a man's penis.
Okay, gotcha.
She said, thinking of Jacqueline, yes, pics are fine. She's way too freaking nice.
I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. If I was 18, 19, 20, even 24 again, I would not be where I am right now. I am not kidding you. I would be searching out these men that are in these books, and it would be a dirty lifestyle.
You'd be a slut too.
Yeah. I mean, if my boyfriend broke up with me and he was, like, less than satisfying, I'd head to the closest motorcycle club. And after that, I would go chase down every bar, like, every singer that looked like they were going to succeed. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I would not be as sheltered as I was at...
Oh, me either.
Whatever age.
Me either. But we're just doing it now. Well, not the slut part.
I know. Jenny, like, we missed out, right? Like,
we did.
Like,
totally.
The husband, the kids. Like, we have the house. We have, like, everything steady and great. And, like, you feel a little bit more comfortable in your skin at this age. But in all honesty, if I was younger and I would have known... what I'm like, if I would have even read this shit, I would think it was real out there. I'd go for it. Like, I would totally.
Well, I mean, I hope it's real out there somewhere. I mean,
I think it is.
The billionaire coming into the diner, you know, and sweeping you off your feet. Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. You could probably go to the biker club, though, for sure.
Yeah. Head down to the beach here.
Or you could totally fall in love with your brother's best friend and him.
There's that.
Be the badass. Yeah. Or you could be the innocent girl that has no idea what's happening and the, you know.
I love writing those.
The boss. Yeah, the boss comes and gets you. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's so terrible to say, but I really think I'd be a different person.
Yeah, I think I would too. That's what it means by, you know, when you're a kid and you're like, people say they're wiser. You know, that's bullshit until you're wiser.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, when I see these young folks at signings, and I mean, when I say young, I mean, I can't really gouge age anymore, but I mean, when I see these young folks and they're like, oh my gosh, like my boyfriend cheated on me, I'm like, oh, dump his ass and find another one.
Yep.
He ain't going to get better, baby. He ain't going to get better.
Nope. Don't give him another blank.
Yeah, and...
If they're doing it before you get married, it doesn't change once you get married.
No,
right.
Exactly, Lori. Exactly. And I look at Tiffany. She said, exactly. Sheila, yes, I'm coming to Naughty in Nashville. I just saw your post go up. Yes, I'm going to be there. I think these girls are going to
be
there too. Jenny and I am.
Yeah, we're
going to
be there. Yay. Yeah, we're going to be there.
Awesome. Awesome. I think we're at 3 signings together this year, aren't we? I mean, we're at Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, and we're going to be in Nashville together.
Yeah. Are you doing the one after? What's the one after Nashville?
Universal.
Shameless.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shameless is at Universal.
Are you doing
that one? Yeah, no, I didn't get into that one.
Yeah, I'm still on there. I think, do we have a room already?
Yes.
Yeah, we just haven't decided yet. I'm probably not going to do it, but.
Okay, Tiffany, you can't see it, but Jetty's talking to you. She says, will you be there? Yes, Tiffany, Jetty says she's going to be in Nashville. It is the weekend of, hell, we got to get with our
October 15th.
Here. Lori says it's October 15th.
My anniversary.
And it is, hold on to that thought for a second. It's, Tiffany, it's in the Millennial Maxwell House. Is that correct,
yep.
Ladies?
Millennial.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good venue. That was a great show last year.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was
totally
nonstop
awesome.
People.
Yeah.
I heard it was 700 people through the door.
Yeah, and then we're doing
Vegas in August.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent, I'm trying to get into Vegas, but it's right after Miami, and I don't know if I'll be allowed to get in.
Oh, Sheila's going to Cleveland.
Yeah, Sheila's coming to Cleveland, and so is Nikki Reeves.
Okay.
And wait, now, Lori, you're leaving to go to Nashville on your anniversary?
Yep.
How's that going to work out?
We're taking a trip in September. We're taking a 12-day cruise in Europe for my
I thought that was
retirement.
In July.
No, I'm going to the Caymans in July. I'm going down to the Cayman Islands.
Let me smoke my cigar with my pinky held out. Really, really, really fancy.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
So we're doing a anniversary/ I'm retired cruise at the end of September. It was actually supposed to be that weekend, and then we switched it because we looked at the weather, and it's kind of cooler over there about that time of year. So we pushed it. We were able to push it back to October, which was great. Now I can do Nashville with Jetty.
Yes, that makes me very happy.
Yeah.
Yes, you know what, Jetty? It would make me happy too. And if y'all don't mind, if I can sit next to y'all, where I can borrow her if I have to use the ladies' room.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know what I would do without her there.
Like the money and everything.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I need one. Like, I'm too scatterbrained not to have one. And I can never get the card reader thing to work.
You seem pretty together to me, but I'll tell you, I've never had an assistant. I've never had anybody help me set up or clean up or tug in or tote out or do anything. Like, I don't even know what I would do if I had an assistant. However, I say that in the loosest terms because I have begged people to sit at my table when I've had to use the ladies' room before, and that makes me feel like a loser.
Well, if we're not close to each other, just send me a text. I'll come over there.
I'll holler at you. What are you kidding? I'll just holler. Like, I'll just be the classiest chick. I'll be the classiest chick in the room. I'm not kidding.
All right, guys, we're out of here. It's after 9. Go buy Erin Sanders' new book, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
I'm holding out for next week. Make sure you save me a copy so I can get it.
All right. Bye, sugars.
All right, bye.
See you guys.
See ya.